Welcome to Life Church of Mobile's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll enjoy.
Glory to God. Thank you for being our guest today. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for being a regular part of the house, and thank you for those of you who are visiting your families today for choosing to come be a part of what is happening in this house today. God has something very special for each and every one of us uniquely and beautifully. And as I was able to make my way around for just a few moments this morning before the service started, it was so good to hug necks and be a part of a great family that we have here. We're so blessed and so honored to have you in the house today. And I hope you feel that love. I hope you feel that grace. Well, I want to make a couple of announcements as I get right into the Word today. First of all, I've already said it, but I want to just emphasize it. This is Easter. This is Resurrection Sunday, and it's nothing else. God made the decree. God already made the decree, and that's what we're going to celebrate today. And I'm just telling you this. I am not going to give the devil any time by emphasizing anything else, because this is God's Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. This is Easter Sunday. He's alive. And I'm going to tell you this. I was thinking about it today. Think about all the isms through the years that have tried to snuff out. Communism, socialism, all of those things that have tried in way after way after way, all the isms that have tried to snuff out what we celebrate today. And I got news for you. Jesus came out of that grave victorious. All those isms have not been able to win. All those isms have not been able to stand. They have fallen by the wayside, but there remains one King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. This is Easter Sunday. This is Resurrection Sunday. Give Him praise in this house today. Hallelujah! Yes! Praise the Lord. We used to, way back when I was doing a little bit of, we used to sing, celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Da 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 da. He is risen and He lives forevermore. Hallelujah, church. He is alive. And here's my message for all that's going on in our world. And Drew, I'm just so glad to announce again today that light always defeats the darkness. Always. Light always defeats the darkness. And by the way, next Sunday, I'll talk about this a little bit. But next Sunday, there's going to be an eclipse on April the 8th, I believe, which is a week from tomorrow. And some of you been reading this and that. Everybody's got an opinion. I'll tell you mine next week. Now, that's not going to be my whole message, but it's a week from tomorrow. Anybody's got an opinion, and I'll tell you what mine is, and we'll talk just a little bit about it, because I've had some people ask. So we'll talk about it. Everybody's got an opinion, you know, and I've got one too, and you've got one, and we'll kind of wade through that and talk for just a moment before we share the Word with you in detail next week. But that's going to be pretty monumental, I think, here in the United States, and we'll see what we can wade through and share with you. I haven't had a lot of time to spend on it, but we'll share a little bit from our heart about that next week. And by the way, you hear a lot of negative press. Let me give you some good press. And it doesn't have anything to do with Alabama being in the Final Four in basketball. Okay, I'm just saying that's a coincidence. That's nothing. I mean, that don't hurt my feelings either, but that's okay. I was excited when Auburn made it. You know that. I got close personal friends there. But there was a mighty move of the Spirit at the University of Alabama this past Wednesday night. Unite Alabama. So many hearts and lives were touched, hundreds baptized in water. And so I'm telling you, it began at Auburn University, and then it went to Florida State University, known as a party school. This past week was University of Alabama, a mighty move of the Spirit of God. And Georgia, you're next. So praise the Lord. Amen. One more thing, too. I want to emphasize this. This is a time when family is under attack in our day, when the very definition of family, when the very understanding of family is so very, very vitally important. So next Sunday after service, there's going to be a time for you, families with children, with children. I don't know what ages are involved, but if you have children, next Sunday, meet after church, you're going to be fed, you're going to have a time of fellowship, and you're going to be able to connect with other families that are walking through the same thing you are. And so that's very, very vitally important. We're giving ourselves to this, and I pray that you'll take advantage of that next Sunday right after the service. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, today, how many of you know, when growing up, when we put a swimming pool in our house at one point in our lives when our kids were a certain age. It's so good to see some of you today. My heart is just rejoicing at seeing these awesome faces and families. But we had finally, our neighbors had put one in. How many of you live in South Alabama? I mean, some of you are somewhere where it's hot. Can it get hot in the summer? Our neighbors had one, and did you see water splashing up? And our boys are sitting on the back porch. Oh, all they can do is hear and see, you know, and you don't want to depend on your neighbors for all that. So eventually we just bit the bullet and put a swimming pool in. But they were at the age at that time, and here is what we always would tell them. When you're around the pool and you got your friends with you, walk, don't run. So you don't bust your head open, so you don't, you know, do things to them. Well, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you the reverse of that today. Everybody say, run, don't walk. Now, I don't know what hit you in life that caused you to lose your run. But we're going to deal with it today. We're going to deal with it today. And so I'm encouraging you, and here's what I'm saying. Lace up your running shoes in the spirit and get ready to go. I said, come on, church. I said, lace up your running shoes and get ready to go. So whatever it was, whatever happened to you that took the run out of you, that took the pace out of you, in Jesus' name, it is defeated in your life today, and today is a new day. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. On the first day of the week, John 20, one of my favorite resurrection stories. I've preached it, but not quite like I am today. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, of course we know as John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping. As she wept, she stooped down, and she looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why do you weep? Who do you seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him thence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And when he said her name, listen, isn't that awesome? He said her name. Oh, church, see, that's not in my notes. When he called her name, she knew who he was. How many of you know there's something special about the way that he says your name? Let me tell you now, I could have this whole church auditorium filled, and everybody could say my name, but if she says my name, I'll recognize it different from everybody else's because of the place it has in my heart and my ears and my familiarity with hearing it and knowing it. When he said, Mary, she knew it was him. She said, Oh, Master, Rabbi, Teacher. What an awesome, awesome perspective this is. Jesus' followers had gone through a very traumatic time. Now, when death gets in your inner circle, how many of you have ever lost a close loved one? Boy, pretty much every hand in here. When death invades your inner circle, you know, it touches you, it changes you. Things happen, perspectives change, and it did for the disciples and the followers of Jesus. Now, put yourself at the cross with his followers. They thought, listen, they thought his kingdom was going to be immediately established. They thought it was going to immediately have effect in every place, including the government and a lot of things. But when he hung on that cross and when he died, watch this, church, there was confusion. There was heartbreak. There was agony. There was fear. There was disappointment. There was utter devastation. Now, here is Mary Magdalene. This is Mary Magdalene, and she's going to the tomb in the dark. Maybe because of fear. I mean, you've just seen your leader crucified. And maybe because of uncertainty. And you know, this is just my perspective, but maybe because she just was having trouble sleeping. When you go through a hard time like that, when you go through something like this, sleep can become a rare commodity. Just being honest. Maybe she couldn't sleep because of what had just happened. And sometimes, and listen, I know some of you will be able to relate to this, sometimes sleep can be hard to find until the exhaustion in you becomes greater than your sorrow and pain. You just get worn out. Worn out to the place you're dealing with this and you're hurting and the pain is there and the misunderstanding is there and you don't get it all and you're just carrying it and carrying it and carrying it, but you finally get to the place that you just get so exhausted that you just lay and sleep and you're able to sleep for that. I don't know what caused her to come at dark. But there she is, and you know, the question is, what happened to all those people that he did so much for? Where are the crowds and the ones that were saying just a few days before, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest? I thank God for those people whose love doesn't faint when the conditions change. A few people that are with you even when it's painful, even when everybody else turns against you. Most people will withdraw from our lives when they don't see a benefit for themselves. Jesus had to deal with pouring himself into people who didn't always pour themselves into him, but Mary did. Hard times like this reveal you can pour yourself into people that will not always pour themselves into you. Now let's talk about Mary for just a moment. The Bible says that Jesus had cast seven devils out of Mary. This is Mary Magdalene. And I don't believe that she went down to the tomb that morning in faith. She went down because of the love and the grace that she had experienced. Because this man that she witnessed hang on that cross had touched her life so deeply and so profoundly, she couldn't let go of it. It was, listen, church, it was personal. And all of you that are gathered here today under the sound of my voice, all of you who are watching, this event that we call Calvary, this event that we call Good Friday, this event that we call Easter Sunday and the resurrection, it needs to become personal for each and every one of us on a daily basis. And for Mary, let me tell you, I know this, it was personal. Real gratitude is always personal. And I think it's no coincidence that the first person that Jesus appeared to was Mary. Amen. Not to those that many would have considered so important, so loved. If it had been me, I'm just saying, in the natural, I'd have been tempted to go back and see some of the rulers who had sentenced me to be crucified, walk in their room, grab them by the toe and say, "Hey, remember me?" But that's not what Jesus did. first appears to Mary. He had not forgotten her, just as she had not forgotten him. He knew that she would be suffering because, watch this, she had hung on every word out of his mouth for 3 years. She soaked it up. And I believe the first thing he did was appear to her and heal her soul. Heal that ache, that longing, that crushing that she felt in the loss. And so it was personal. Here's what I've... And she was grateful. If you find a grateful church, you'll also find a worshiping church. Now, you may be visiting with us today and think, I've never seen worship like that. We're just grateful. That's all it is gratitude. It is personal gratitude on our behalf because of what he's done for us. It was personal. Listen, she could say it was personal because I was under demonic bondage and he got that demonic bondage off of me. He got it off of me and he changed my life. I want to ask you a question. Everybody look at me. Is there anything he's gotten off of you? Let me try this side. Is there anything he's gotten off of you? Let me have the whole church. If there's anything he's gotten off of you, give him a clap offering in this house. Thank you, Lord. But she's there. Watch this. And she gets upset because her first reaction is, I have come to take care of his body. It just makes me want to weep. And I'm mourning and I'm hurt. And I can't even weep, right? Because now look what's happened. Her first thought was, they've messed this up for me. I can't even grieve like I want to. Because they've messed this up without dealing with chaos. What happened to him? And when they got there in the tomb, it was not what they had expected. How could this happen to the one who had set them free? How could this happen to the one who had changed their life? Now I'm telling you, those of you who go to church here, you understand. I'm here today because he changed my life. And for many of you, you're here today because he changed your life. Because of a divine appointment that you didn't even know about at the time. But he changed your life. That's why she was there, because he changed her life. But this is not what they expected. And today is for anybody that maybe life handed you some things that you didn't quite expect and interrupts you and you didn't think it was going to be that way and you're shocked and dismayed and you're not sure what all's going on. And there are times in life, watch this. This goes back to what I said earlier. There are times in life when we quit running and we don't even realize that we have. They ran to the tomb. And suddenly you get to a point in your life and you look back and you realize there was a time when I was running the race with a steady pace and I was going after him. But then life happened and unexpected things happened, and now suddenly I find myself in a place where I'm not running anymore. In fact, I'm not walking anymore. I've just kind of fallen by the wayside. And we don't even know why it happened or how it happened. We may know why, but not even how. There are times in life when we quit running, we don't even know why, when, or that we even stopped. Because something will come along, and if you allow it to, watch this, it will take the run out of you. So, I got a word for you this morning. In the Spirit, I want every one of you to see yourself getting those running shoes out of the closet, dusting them off, and getting them back on your feet. Come on. Come on, church. Amen. Because God is here to give you your energy back. Now, the crucifixion was not a shock to God. The cross was not his ultimate destiny for Jesus. And we have to realize that. We cannot allow the cares of this world to destroy our passion for living. God's got you covered. And so she runs to Peter and to John. And then in turn, they run to the tomb, and John outruns Peter. Watch this. There are certain things in life that will cause you to run and to pick up the pace. Real love will make you pick up the pace. Let me tell you a story. Our boys, I think at the time, Susan, were about maybe 4 and 5. And we decided to, I think we went to a conference, a worship conference, I think in Atlanta for a couple of days. It was during the winter, during the off season. So we found a hotel close to the conference, and we tried to find one because we were taking the boys with us that had an indoor swimming pool. And we didn't have a pool at that time, but they had we found one and had a big indoor Olympic pool. It was heated. And it had a little hot tub on it. And so one day during when the conference was not going on, we went down and they got around the pool. And Matthew at that time, our youngest, I think he was about 4. And he didn't get in the water much. And when he would get in, if he found a pool, he would only get in on the steps. And just kind of splash around because he was just still getting. And this, listen, now our kids grew up in the olden times. I don't think they had such a thing called floaties then. You know, you threw them in and they either swam or sank. There wasn't a lot of inventions yet. You know, I think about, we had, I'm telling stories now, and they're true. We had a 1982 Caprice Estate station wagon that was, you're talking about a land yacht. That thing was, it must have been 40 feet long. And it had a seat, and then another seat, and then a seat in the back that faced backwards. Any of y'all remember a seat that faced straight backwards? Now, all of those seats could lay down. And so, I mean, look, it was the size of a Hearst. And, you know, we would drive around with them. And listen, at that age, they wanted to be right on top of us. So, and I'm not saying this was safe. I'm just saying it's the way it was. All four of us, that big old thing, and all four of us were in the front seat. Am I telling the truth? Them right between us because they wanted their arms around us. They wanted to be right between us. There wasn't anything as car seats. You know, one of the most wonderful things as grandparents that we have absolutely shouted and jumped and danced over is when our grandkids got old enough to not have to be in a car seat anymore. Because I have just about lost it a couple of times trying to get those car seats buckled and get them young and strapped in there. And I'm like, go back to the old days. Throw this thing out. Let's get in this car and go. Anybody else been there? Ah, hallelujah. But anyway, this was the time when I don't think even floaties were. And we weren't. Listen, there was nobody in that Olympic-sized pool but myself and Susan and an older couple and our two boys. And Ryan was hanging around the hot tub with us, and we were just sitting there looking across and looking out, and parking lot I think was there, and we were just looking across it and not thinking anything about it because Matthew wasn't in the water. He was just walking around, and for some reason Susan and I had our back to the pool. We all did. We were visiting with that couple. We were all just talking, and in a minute, for some reason, I don't remember if you looked first or I did. Do you remember? I think Susan said, "Where's Matthew?" And I turned around and I looked, and I was sitting in that tub, and I looked, and all I could see on the very end of that Olympic pool was him underwater. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is love will make you pick up the pace. And she described this to me because I have very little recollection of it. Thank you. Start saying revelation of it. I'm in spirit mode this morning. Very little recollection of it except coming out and getting down there to him and getting him. When I got under and I got him and he came up out of the water, the thing that I remember the most about it from my perspective is how he felt. Hard for me to say this and not cry. How he felt when he came up and he had his arms around me. And he was holding on to me so tight, and he was coughing and sputtering. I'll never, ever forget the feeling, how that felt. But here's the point. Susan told me, she said, when you got out of that hot tub and headed toward him, she said, you didn't walk in the water. You walked on the water. She said, that's the only way I know to describe it. She said, I cannot describe it any other way. Love. I'm going to tell you, love will make you pick up the pace. Love will cause you to put those running shoes on the day when you don't even feel like it. Love will cause you to rise to a level that you didn't know you were capable of. John outran Peter. I can just see them headed and pushing each other and going, because this is the man they loved. What's this? But this is also the man that loved them. Amen. Real love will make you pick up the pace. Young people, if you'll run after real love, you'll automatically distance yourself from the fake. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Wasn't that a commercial at one time? What was it? Thing, baby. And if getting closer to God, let me tell you, young people, if getting closer to God distances you, and adults too, we need to hear this. If getting closer to God distances you from certain relationships, that's an indicator of what kind of love it really is. And by the way, I already heard your thoughts. Some of you are saying, Brother Scotty, I'm too old to lace on any running shoes. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm talking in the spirit. You may have got a late start, baby. But I got news for you. Back when I was a running rascal, I did a lot of road races. And here's what I've discovered. There was one race we did locally here, and I got pretty good back in the day. And there was one race I was doing, and most of us that were up in the front line to start those races knew each other. Well, there's a guy we didn't know, and I saw him on the front line, and he was new, and thought, wow, this guy's really good. Well, when they shot the gun to start, he took off like he was shot out of a cannon. And I was like, man, I am impressed. This is great. Until I got to the 1 mile mark, and I saw him standing on the side of the road. And I figured out he had just had Hardee's for breakfast that morning. You put those running shoes on, and it's not always the ones who start the fastest that are in the race. It's the ones that Hebrews 12 talks about. They run with endurance the race that is set before them. And part of the meaning of the word for endurance is joy. They run with joy the race that is set before them on a daily basis. So everybody say with me, run. Don't walk. So Peter and John, they start running toward the resurrection. And here's what I've discovered. I'd rather aim for the stars and miss it than not aim at all. Some of us may start late. But we're going to start running. And listen, some of you quit running, and it's time to start running again. I don't know what caused you to stop running to church. But it's time to start running again. I don't know what it was that hit you. I don't know what it was that grieved you. I don't know what it was that hurt you. But you've got to be like Mary. You've got to run to the resurrection. Amen. You've got to run to that place where the one... Listen, church is not perfect. Come to a place where everybody else needs grace just like you do. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise if you're going to do it. But they're running. And you know why? As they run, they leave the past behind, the failure behind. Peter and John, they started running, and they started running toward the resurrection. Running to place a demand, a withdrawal on life. And we could all say, I messed up that part of my life. Is there anybody in here who would say, I've got parts of my life that I messed up? Now, all of us could say in some way, somehow, we have part of our life that messed up. I may have messed up that part of my life, but today I start running. That marriage may have been messed up. That business failure may have been messed up. That ministry disappointment may have left me hurting. That loss and that pain. But I got news for you. I'm getting ready to run toward an empty tomb to find a risen Savior, a Lord and a King and a God who reigns. Now, here's the thing. I'm not running from something in fear. I'm running towards something in faith. Don't run from your past in fear. Run for your future in faith. And here's another powerful thing. They ran together. They ran together. Two are better than one. One can put 1,000. Two... We need each other. They ran together. That's the power of partnership. Everybody look up here. I want to ask you a question. Sometimes when you find yourself and you've quit running, the question is, who you running with? Who you been running with? Who you been hanging with? Who you been listening to? I don't know how to say this except to try to formulate it in a way that hopefully you can get it in your heart. But every one of us has an aura that we give off. Believers especially. But even unbelievers, we have an aura that we give off. I don't want to... You start hanging around people with the wrong aura, the wrong spirit. Let me say it that way. And before long, you're going to be like them. I want to get around some people that will say, I am running toward the resurrection. You better get out of my way. I'm going. Come on, let's go together. But keep up. Here we go. Hallelujah. Run. Everybody say run. With the right crowd. They were running with the right crowd. That's the power of partnership. Jesus was relational. After his resurrection... How many of you get my emails on a daily basis? Okay, if you don't, sign up for them. Call the church and get them. I put one this week on about Emmaus. The road to Emmaus. Boy, you could preach that. Road to Emmaus. Everybody has. But Jesus was relational. Now, you'll see Susan and I. You'll see people in this church. We like to mingle. We're not... And look, oh boy, I don't know if I ought to go here or not, but I will. And listen, I get it. I understand. We live in days and times when there needs to be protection because people will do crazy stuff. You know, we've had all kinds of things try to happen to us here, and I got great people, I thank God, that look out for me, look out for us. But we are not coming in with an entourage. I'm just saying, we're pastors. This is our heart. You're our heart. Now, we will take necessary precautions, and people that get higher up, they got to do that because there's all kinds of threats and things that go on. But I'm telling you, our heart in this house is to be relational,
to hang out together, to do life together. And when we cry at the crucifixion of Jesus, and when we don't understand, we'll put our arms around each other, and we'll cry, and we'll weep together, and we'll hold each other. But then, suddenly, when we get a revelation that we're going to go visit the tomb, and he's alive, we're going to run back and grab Peter and John and say, hey, guys, guess what? We thought it was over, but it's not. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get our running shoes on and let's go.
Oh, my. Jesus was relational. He's on the road to Emmaus. I won't take time to preach it today. And he goes from breaking bread on the road to Emmaus to bringing revelation to those two that were so hungry for the Lord and understanding, to having breakfast on the beach with his disciples. Jesus made time for relationships because he cared. So Mary, she's outside the tomb and she's crying. She looks in. And as she looks in, and we're going to wrap this up in about 5 minutes, two angels look at her and say, why are you crying? This is powerful. There are people here today who left a place in God that God is calling you back to. He has not forgotten the call, the anointing that is on your life. And he will not. She looks inside that tomb and she's weeping, and there's two angels and they say, why are you crying? And basically her response is, they have taken away the one who loved me and the one I loved. Watch this real quickly and we're going to go to a major point. Now, the thing about real love is there's a price. When you love deeply, you grieve deeply. I did 5 funerals in March. 4 of them were younger than me. And I watched families grieve and hurt and pain. And I'm talking about born-again, spirit-filled believers. And that's part of it. Real love has a price. It's called grief. And she's grieved. And she's hurting. They've taken the one away who loved me. And all I wanted to do was honor him. I just wanted to honor him because he loved me and he honored me. And they've taken him away. She's grieved. But here's the good news. How many of you like, and guys, you better help me with this. How many of you like a good love story? Now, every lady just raised their hand, and I got 3 guys, I think, that did. I'm sorry, I don't know what it says about me, but I do. I do. I like it. Yeah, good, Drew. Amen. Amen, guys. That's good. I like a good love story. Now, I'm talking about a good love story, not some of this modern stuff that's... I won't go there. You know what I'm talking about. Every good love story, if it's going to be a great love story, it's going to have a happy ending. I never will forget, and I don't remember the name of the movie, but there was some movie that we watched. And Matthew had said something about it, and he said, let's watch this movie, because it was one of those historical pieces. And when that thing was over, I looked over at Susan and I said, I wish I would have saved myself this time and just taken a hammer and smashed my big toe and gotten it over with. This thing, that's miserable. I just invested 2 hours for that. You are kidding me. This is awful. Oh, if I ever think of the movie, I'll tell you about it so you don't watch it. Every good love story has a happy ending. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and she saw Jesus standing and knew that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? She thinking he is the gardener, says unto him, sir, if you have taken him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.
Jesus says unto her, Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say master. And in Luke 24, watch this. Here's what he says to her. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is risen just as he said. Hallelujah! Every great love story has a happy ending. We find in Luke's account, the angels reminded them, and here it is, here's the point. He's basically saying, looking at him and saying, remember what he told you. How many of you ever got a word from God? How many of you have a promise from God? How many of you, God has spoken some things into your heart? How many of you ran off and left him and you ran the wrong direction? He wants today, he wants you to remember what he told you. He wants to remind you of some things he already told you, but you have forgotten. And if you feel trapped in a tomb today, I want you to know there is good news. The stone has been rolled away from the tomb in your life through the finished work of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet and give God praise in this house? The stone has been rolled away. The stone has been rolled away. Let's get Peter and John and let's run to the resurrection. I call you today to run to the resurrection. Run to the calling that is on to your life. Run to that place. And you may not know why you quit. You may not know why you gave up. You may be tempted right now to lay down and quit and let it go. But God is calling you today to run to that empty tomb. Run to that place where that blockage in your life has been removed and the stone is rolled away. I remind you of this, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They're without repentance. What have you forgotten that he said to you? Jesus not only rose from the dead, but as you know, he interrupted a massive block party in hell. What's this? But he took ownership of the keys. They're the keys that unlock your prison doors. By his authority, he stood. You know, listen, we have this, with all that's going on in the world and all that's going on in culture, we can get lulled into thinking, boy, the darkness is winning. And it can feel that way. At times it can feel like, boy, there's just so much darkness. The darkness is winning. And you know, we're getting overwhelmed and we're getting overpowered. And just because they get most of the press doesn't mean they're winning the battle. There's all kind of things going on. And they're going to come to the surface. And you're going to see it. Jesus not only rose from the dead, he interrupted a massive block party in hell. Watch this. And he took ownership of the keys that unlock our prison doors and set us free. Jesus appeared to 552 people after his resurrection. And I want you to remember this. Jesus came out so we could come out. Jesus got up so we can get up. And I don't know what has hit you, that has knocked you down, that has called you to be laid out and take off your running shoes and let go, but I'm here to tell you today, if you'll allow it to, today can be the beginning of a new day and a new era and a new season and a new time for your life. Come on, church, this is the time. This is the day. This is the place. Jesus got up after life happened to him so that we can get up after life happens to us. And when he came out of that grave, the possibilities for my life and your life were birthed with him. He is the firstborn of many. How many of you are born again? Say, that's me. Don't you let the devil beat you down and beat you up and condemn you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, but that's not where he stopped. Come on. I am the resurrection and? Oh, my. If you feel trapped today, I want you to know this. The stone's been rolled away. The only thing that Jesus ever walked away from was an empty tomb. He never flinched in battle. Never one time did he allow the enemy to win, even when it looked like the enemy was winning. And he'll never walk away from you. And as we get ready to leave in just a few moments, I'll remind you of this. Today we celebrate Easter. Today we celebrate the resurrection. And tomorrow, the day that we know is Easter, will be over. But if you're going to run, if you're going to allow him to inspire you, and not just inspire you, but to cause you to have a whole new perspective about things, even though tomorrow, the day we know is Easter, will be over, what it means for us has got to matter all year long. Romans 10:9, that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Watch this. And believe in your heart that God has done what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. For just a moment, please. Can we all pray this prayer together? And if you are not certain of your salvation, I pray that this will permeate your heart, your life, for wherever you are. This is really not so much a salvation message, in some sense it is, but more than that, it's a call for those who have fallen by the wayside to get our shoes back on again and to step out and to go forward and to run toward the resurrection. Can we all pray this prayer together just to help somebody around you? Everyone say, Jesus. Everybody, please pray it. And I ask you to mean it from your heart. If you are hungry for what God wants to do in your life. One more time. Everybody say, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and rose on the third day for my victory. I believe in my heart, and I make confession with my mouth that Jesus, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, you are my King. Thank you for loving me. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's one more category I want us to deal with, and I'd like to put this on the screens, and I'd like us to read this together. So if you'll lift up your eyes for just a moment. And this is not just something to fill time. This is something that I felt prophetically urged by God to release. Because I had such a sense in my spirit that God was calling people back. He's calling them out. He's calling them up. He has such a longing for those that have been wounded and beaten and find themselves in that place. And I want this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, but I pray today you will allow today to be that beginning. So let's read this together. It'll take just a moment, but it's worth it. Would you say with me? Everybody say, Jesus. Here we go. Let's read it together. Today is my day to run toward my destiny. I receive all the work and triumph of resurrection, whereby I have been raised with you to a new life, to walk in newness of life, dead to sin and alive to God. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I now take my place in your resurrection, whereby I have been made alive with you. I reign in life through you. I now put on the new man in all holiness and humility, in all righteousness and purity and truth. Jesus is now my life, the one who strengthens me. I apply the fullness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for my life, and I receive it with thanks and give it total claim to my life. This is my time to receive freedom from the pain and failure of the past. Today is my day to let go of all the unnecessary baggage in my life. Whatever I need today, whatever the loss has been in my life or the failures of my past, today I let go because there is grace and resurrection power for me. Today and every day I will live my life and run my race with freedom and joy. Jesus has set me free. Hallelujah. Now, I'll just take just a second to do an advertisement. If you don't have a good church, I know one. We'd love to have you. Some of you are visiting today from other places, but this is a great place to get in the house and to let God work in your life. Now, I'm going to do something a little different today. Susan and I are going to walk out to the foyer and greet you as you leave. Because sometimes we up here and we don't get to see those of you who head out that door. And so what I'd like to do is give me just a minute. Andrew, come up here and close us out in prayer, brother. And give Susan and I a moment to get out there. This kind of reminds me of my Southern Baptist days. Amen. How many of you remember those days? You didn't know. Well, one thing about it. When everybody was leaving, you had to do one of two things. Either duck or pucker. That's a joke. You'll get it later. It'll come on you this afternoon. So, Drew, if you'll come close us out, Susu and I are going to head out to the foyer and get to fellowship with some of you as you leave today. God bless you.
Give them a mighty hand clap, would you please? Or if you love them. She's running. She's out running you, Pastor Scotty. Yeah. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father God, for such a wonderful time in your presence and in your house. As we have received from your table, Lord, we pray now that it will bring health, strength to us, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you for the families represented here. Let your power and this resurrection day rest, remain, and abide with us, Lord, and carry us through this day till Jesus comes. And we love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a great day. We love you.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.